In its mission statement, the United States Department of Defense accepts responsibility for providing the military forces needed to deter war and protect the security of our country. In the 1958-60 era, the U.S. had a small contingent of advisors in Vietnam. The only actual armed deployments were Marines to the Lebanon crisis in 1958, military aid to Papa Doc in Haiti in 59, and Marine protection for U.S. nationals following the Cuban Revolution in 59 and 60. So while Elvis Presley served his country in training and stationed in Germany, he not only fulfilled his duty of deterrence, but he also managed to achieve 2 number one records, 5 top tens, and assorted charting B-sides. Presley's colonel, not Colonel Tom, but his real Army Colonel Taylor, said, "Aside from the fact that our battalion could have gone to war with the Soviets at any time, there are risks every single day in a combat unit. Elvis pulled his weight. He used his head and did his job well. He was one of us. He cared about us. And he got back the respect and friendship he gave everyone else." Back stateside, Elvis got the respect and admiration of topping the charts for a final time in the 50s with "A Big Hunk of Love" in August 1959. This song was recorded in Nashville a little over a year earlier while Elvis was on furlough from basic training. It would be the first of 4 number ones written by Aaron Schroeder. Bill Black didn't play bass on that session. At that time, he was laying the foundation for launching a new group, the Bill Black Combo. After a couple of years of struggle, Bill put High Records on the chart with his first single. At this point, Bill Black was on bass, of course. Jerry Arnold, singer Eddie Arnold's nephew, on drums. Reggie Young on guitar, and on sax, Marty Willis. The song they recorded was Smokey Part 2. And in early 1960, the 18th single from High hit number 17 on the pop chart, and number 1 R&B. According to author Robin Jones in the book The Memphis Boys, the guitar sound was achieved by Reggie Young hitting the strings with a pencil. Now this was the throwback to the bebop days when a drummer would tap a rhythm on the stand-up bass strings, as Ray Bauduc and Bob Haggart did on Bob Crosby's Big Noise from Winnetka. High Records had a low checkbook balance, so in lieu of big session bucks, the players were offered stock according to one source and royalties according to another to cover their performances on the song. By the time the combo's follow-up single was recorded, Ace Cannon had sauntered in to replace Willis on sax, and Carl McVoy, cousin of Jerry Lee Lewis, joined on keyboards. White Silver Sands was a cover of the song Don Rondo took to number 7 in the summer of 57, and the Bill Black Combo rolled it to the number 7 spot again, and number 1 R&B, to score the biggest selling single of their career. The draft would take its toll again, with Reggie Young heading for the service. To add insult to induction, as Reggie rode the bus to boot camp, he was passed by a caddy with the Bill Black Combo emblazoned on the back, and his replacement riding in his seat. Phillips International, an imprint of Sun Records, launched another career with the 1960 Top 30 hit Lonely Weekends by Charlie Rich. Charlie had been a session plinker for Judd Records, owned by Sam Phillips' brother, then did session work for Sam. His solo demos were deemed too slick and jazzy to fit the Sun sound, so Sam gave Charlie a stack of Jerry Lee Lewis records to study with the instructions, "Come back when you get that bad." Lonely Weekends would be his biggest Sun hit, but obviously wouldn't be the last we heard from the Silver Fox. There are a great number of honorees on the Beale Street Brass Note Walk of Fame who made their mark long before Elvis showed up to record a song for his mama. And there are a great number who rang in New Year's 1960 relatively unknown, but who would become household names by the end of the decade. For WKNO, I'm Rob Grayson.